Cuba's power grid has collapsed for the third time in 9 days. To understand why that number is so alarming, you need the structural context. Cuba's electricity infrastructure is Soviet-era, aging thermoelectric plants, distribution systems that haven't had major capital investment in decades, and no access to the financing needed for modernization because of the U.S. embargo. The grid has been in crisis since 2022, with rolling blackouts affecting 12 to 16 hours a day in some provinces. 3 collapses in 9 days suggest the system has moved from chronic stress to acute failure. The grid is no longer degrading slowly, it's failing episodically.
U.S. sanctions on Cuba's tourism ministry and 9 other entities announced this week add economic pressure at exactly this moment of infrastructure crisis. Tourism is one of Cuba's primary foreign exchange earners. Without hard currency from tourists, the government can't purchase fuel for the thermoelectric plants, which then can't generate electricity. The sanctions create a feedback loop that compounds the humanitarian situation. The Biden administration was gradually easing some of these restrictions. The current administration has reversed that and then some. Cubans experiencing 12-hour blackouts in 95-degree July heat are the ones most immediately affected by that policy choice.
The Ebola situation in the Democratic Republic of Congo has triggered a U.S. response that's worth examining carefully. The State Department placing Americans in the DRC on a do-not-board list, meaning they cannot fly home directly and must spend 21 days in a third country, is a quarantine measure calibrated to Ebola's incubation period. The DRC has experienced multiple Ebola outbreaks since 2018, and the response protocols are well established, but the scale of the current outbreak and the U.S. government's decision to implement travel restrictions of this seriousness suggests the assessment of spread risk is elevated.
The Cyclospora outbreak traced to lettuce across 31 states is a food safety story with real public health stakes. Cyclospora is a microscopic parasite, not a bacteria, which means standard food safety interventions like cooking don't eliminate it. You need to either not eat the contaminated produce or have it properly washed with treated water. With 31 states affected, we're likely talking about a major commercial lettuce producer, given that distribution at that scale implies industrial supply chains. The CDC and FDA are presumably working to identify the specific producer and growing region, but in the meantime, consumers in all those states are facing real uncertainty about what's safe to eat.
The Bangkok pub fire killing at least 27 people is Thailand's deadliest nightlife disaster in years. The fire engulfed a venue called Wrong Beer near Soi Ladprao 1 early Monday morning. The early morning timing means maximum occupancy, as these venues typically peak after midnight. Thailand has had persistent problems with fire safety compliance in entertainment venues, partly because enforcement is inconsistent, and partly because the informal economy around nightlife discourages formal permitting that would bring safety inspections. This tragedy will likely prompt a round of inspections and regulatory statements, as similar fires have in the past.
Colombia's election integrity situation is one that deserves more U.S. attention than it's getting. A razor-thin presidential runoff has produced unsubstantiated fraud allegations, and more than a dozen countries, including the U.S. and Latin American allies, have issued a joint statement warning against efforts to undermine the results. The specifics matter. Whoever lost the runoff is apparently challenging the outcome without presenting credible evidence. The international community's willingness to push back collectively on election denial, in Latin America specifically, reflects lessons learned from Venezuela, Nicaragua, and other cases where early intervention might have changed trajectories. The U.S. joining that coalition statement is notable given that the administration has simultaneously been making its own election integrity claims domestically.
Typhoon Bavi slamming eastern China after 2.2 million evacuations in Zhejiang is a climate story as much as a disaster story. China's evacuation systems have improved dramatically since the 1990s. 2.2 million people moved in advance of a typhoon represents logistical capacity that didn't exist 30 years ago. The real question now is damage assessment. Zhejiang Province is one of China's most economically productive coastal regions, home to major manufacturing and port infrastructure. Typhoon damage there has supply chain implications for global manufacturing, particularly in electronics and textiles.